Big fan of Steve Forbes, as am I, the 1996 presidential candidate. Ladies and gentlemen, the chairman and editor-in-chief of Forbes Media. One straight shooting gentleman. Good morning, Mr. Steve Forbes.
Stevie, how are you?
Well, I'm great. How are you?
Doing fine, thank you.
Great to have you back on the program.
Waiting for the baseball season to start so we can get our minds on something constructive.
Okay. Well, let's just rat-a-tat-tat, as I love to do with you. What's your assessment of the Republican GOP primary? What's your take on as of now?
Well, what I think it has done, candidates, some of the ones that I would have liked to have run decided not to run. But I think that, for example, Romney is a much stronger candidate today because of the process of having to come out with a tax proposal. And I think Santorum is going to force Romney to finally deal with the health care problem. And I think, and this is an article of faith, I think the candidate, whatever candidate emerges from the process, and who knows, another one may come in before this is over, will win the election. That's my hope and belief.
Yeah, well, they certainly go at each other, and Newt Gingrich originally said, you know, let's not pound on each other. And of course, we lost that in Iowa, and it's just been continuing ever since. I don't know what it is, but I realize Newt has baggage, I realize, but I love hearing him talk, and I would pay $50 and check the little box in my tax form if I could have Newt Gingrich debate Barack Obama one time. I would love to see it, that's all. But I don't know, they're talking brokered convention, there's really no chance of stuff like that, is there?
It's a long chance, that's the closest we're ever going to get in our lifetimes. But it would take Romney faltering, and he has won two big ones, Michigan and Ohio. We'll see what he does in Illinois, your home ground, in a couple of weeks, week and a half. And if he falters, then there's a possibility of another candidate coming in.
You know,
because clearly there's not a lot of happiness out there.
Well, it's just like, oh boy, man, yeah, it's great. Listen, I'm right now that's fine with me, but I don't know what it is, but I'm not throwing any parties, and I think that's probably the feeling out there because Mitt had to govern Massachusetts, so you're going to be kind of a middle guy, middle leaning left if you're going to govern Massachusetts, right?
Well, that's true, but I think that what worries the base about Newt, I mean, not about Newt, but about Governor Romney. Is Romney Care, the mandate in Massachusetts. If that's an assault on freedom on the federal level, Obamacare, why did he do it in Massachusetts? That's the issue he's got to address, come out with a bold proposal, such as nationwide shopping for health insurance and a good tort reform and good things like that. Otherwise, the biggest issue against Obama, he's not going to be able to use effectively.
What's changed in presidential politics since you ran in 96?
Well, more debates, although I don't think we're going to see too many more in the next few months. And the intensity of the coverage with social media, you know, was intense when I did it, but now it's going up several fold.
And isn't it like fire can be used for good and bad?
Absolutely. It's sort of like reading your Miranda rights. Everything you will say will be held against you.
Yeah.
One way or the other.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens. I would think Mitt Romney will be the choice at this point, and then it comes down to strategy. I think the Democrats in their back pocket or their October surprise would be if it looks bad. They'll say, hey, Joe, would you like to be Secretary of State? And they'll put Hillary on that ticket, and it'll give them a boost in October. I think that's a desperation play, but it could happen. I don't know.
Well, that probably would happen. That would look too desperate. Timing is everything. I think if that's going to happen, it'll happen this summer. And I wouldn't rule the possibility out, because even though the Republicans have had a very rough primary season, this guy's approval ratings, yes, they inch up from time to time, but they certainly haven't burst through the 50% mark in any convincing, lasting way.
Do you think
they got to be worried.
Do you think people are enthusiastic as they were in 08, or is it, I'm voting for the president because there's no other choice, I don't like the Republican?
That's part of it. There's certainly no enthusiasm or a fraction of the enthusiasm you saw 4 years ago. And it's more today, gee, the other side is worse. I inherited a terrible mess. Things are starting to get better. But the big wild card out there is the Middle East. I think there's a very real possibility that you're going to see a blow up between Israel and Iran. The Israelis, I don't think, will trust us to deal with the nuclear Iran.
How has the president done in dealing with Israel?
Poorly. He tried to make this visit of Prime Minister Netanyahu as if it was a reunion of dear old friends. And Netanyahu was not persuaded. And I think the Israelis genuinely fear that after the election, it'll be back to what the president did in the first 3 years in office, which was put as much distance as he could between the U.S. and Israel. It's only in the last few weeks that suddenly president said, I'm watching out for you.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Steve Forbes, Chairman and Editor-in-Chief of Forbes Media on 93.5, 95.3 Connect FM. I'm Stevie J. Would you please explain to me, Mr. Forbes, because you're the smartest man I know, why do the Jewish people vote Democratic?
Who knows? That the social welfare, desire to help others, and I think there are more and more voters everywhere realizing that big government is not the answer, that has become too intrusive. And so these things can change over time. But that reminds me, one of the things that's helped Santorum is his emphasis on the word freedom, saying the government is now at the tipping point in terms of freedom and the lack of freedom. That theme, especially when it relates to health care, has gotten a real response. Dan Henninger of the Journal had a piece on it yesterday.
So you still,
to look at.
You still think Rick Santorum has a chance then?
I don't think he can win the nomination, but I think Romney's lock is not going to be locked until June.
All right.
Unless he does something big on health care.
All right. All right, Keystone Pipeline, why not?
Because the Democrats will explain the president has to appease these extreme environmentalists. And that when the election's out of the way, he'll let it go through. That is not true. He is the extreme on this. He does not like oil and gas, and he does everything he can that he thinks politically he can get away with to halt the production of it or make the permits process as slow as possible. So he's the one who does not want to see that happen.
But, Steve, I will put algae in my tank if it functions properly. I don't care, but I don't have any choice right now, so why do I have to pay $4 a gallon gas?
Because he's an ideologue on this subject, an extremist, and he truly believes that, maybe water in your tank, windmill in your car or something's going to work in the future. By the way, his energy secretary let it out of the bag the other day when he told Congress that he didn't mind high energy prices. And they had a beat a hasty retreat on that in this election year. But that's the president's belief. He likes high oil prices. He likes high gasoline prices. So that makes you drive less and go to small cars, which he'd abolish cars if he could.
I'm telling you.
He wants us in small ones.
Well, they want us to commute together. All that is fine. If you have a transitionary period, again, I don't think anybody cares what powers the vehicle as long as there's a functional way and an infrastructure set up, but you can't just turn it off. We're all set up to drive. It doesn't make any sense to me. All right, tell me this. This is a hypothetical, Steve Forbes. Could we build, in this country, where the way politically correct is and the environmentalist has taken over, could we even build an interstate highway system today?
The answer is no. It would take 200 years before the permitting would be done. And I think that's one of the things that Steve Jobs, even though he was a Democrat, told the president. He told the president two things. He said, one, you're much too pessimistic. And the other thing he told him was, he asked him, why is it that Steve Jobs, can get a permit quickly in China to build a plant, and in the U.S. it takes forever? And he says, that's why plants go overseas. We can't build them here. You make us take too long. And the permit process has gone haywire. And that's one thing both the local level and the federal level are going to have to address. This country is getting in a morass.
Well, and I have a front row view of this in just simply trying to build a radio tower. And I had to hire an archaeologist, Mr. Steve. I had to worry about the endangered bat hitting the tower. The Indian tribes had to chime in. It was unbelievable.
What's unbelievable is they worry about a radio tower, which has been around forever, and no harm. And yet they do massive permitting on windmills, which are killing literally hundreds of thousands, millions of birds a year, including rare golden eagles. And that's okay, but put up a radio tower? Oh, no.
It's just cumbersome, and you're right. It's impeding business. It's impeding progress, no question about it. Unemployment numbers. What is your read on this? Can this number be manipulated? Have people just quit looking? How do you read into the lowering unemployment rate?
Well, part of it is there is some job creation. We're like the car on the open highway, assuming we build one, and we should be going 70, 75 miles an hour. Last year we went 20. Now we're up to 35 or 40, but it's still subpar speed, but it's better than it was last year. So, yeah, there'll be some job creation this year, but this job creation should have happened 2.5 years ago.
All right. Do you see it getting better before the election or staying about the same?
The first quarter will look a little bumpy, I think, but then it'll pick up. And so he'll be able to say, see, things are getting better. And then after the election, we've got a massive number of new taxes coming and countless regulations coming. So next year, if nothing is done, we're going to go into a recession.
All right. That's what we need. How would a Forbes administration handle Iran right now?
Tell Iran you dropped that nuclear program, let the inspectors in to stop enriching that uranium, or we're going to take action. They don't believe we're going to do it, and so they go their merry way. And the other thing to be done is what we should have done 3 years ago, is start giving real assistance to the massive resistance movement in Iran like we did with Poland in solidarity against the communists in the 1980s.
Do we help Syria?
Yes, we should be supplying them. They badly need communications equipment, medical supplies, and give them arms. I mean, the other side, Iran's given arms to Assad, and Iran is terror central in this world, and Syria is their close ally, so let the Syrians give them the tools to do the job. Throw them out.
Steve, can you believe the time we live in? I mean, with how long people have been on this planet and where we are at such a crossroads in human history, it really is.
Well, a lot of things can go right and a lot of things can go wrong, but one of the things is I do think something is going to blow up with Iran, unless you get regime change there. And that's the big question mark for the year.
Well, you are a patriot and a great man. I always have respected you and really think you're terrific. And I really appreciate your appearances on my program because I'm a big fan, Steve.
Stevie, thank you, and keep fighting. We will turn this thing around.
Chairman and Editor-in-Chief Forbes Media, Steve Forbes, this morning at 7:19.